That's dead relationships, dead feelings, dead marriages, dead things come alive at the name of Jesus. Say his name with me. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. That is a name that is above every name. I was telling earlier, it's not a name like Jeff. It's just a name. But the name of Jesus is supernatural. It has power, and we need to wield that power against the enemy. And dead things come to life in the name of Jesus. Man, that's good stuff. I love Jesus. You love Jesus? I love him so much. Off track here, but that's a good track to be on. If you're our guest this morning, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel the Spirit of Jesus Christ in this place. Hope you feel the love of his people. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out just so we... I was going to do a T-shirt. What was it? We're not going to bug you. We're going to love you. Was that what it was? So if I get a T-shirt, I'll sell those, make some money. We're not going to bug you. We just want to know who you are. We just want to love on you and hope that you'll meet me. I'll be at this end of the foyer after the service. Free gift for our guests, and we'd love to meet you. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. That chapter is famously known for Pentecost, which is in a few weeks, and we'll be going back to the early part of that chapter 2 in a few weeks on Pentecost. But we're going to pick it up a little later in that chapter that Jesus has been resurrected. He has ascended back to the Father. He has sent his Holy Spirit. And I was telling the early service that prior to the Holy Spirit coming into the picture, all the disciples, all they had was they just had a meeting. There was nothing happening. They were waiting. And the Holy Spirit came, and things began to happen. The church was launched. And Peter preached the first sermon of the new church, and he basically was sharing the gospel, who Jesus was and is and what he had accomplished and how much he loved them. And he shared the gospel. And I told the early service that if what happened to Peter happens to me, I'm out of there. I'm out of here. I mean, I'm going to ride off into the sunset. If I preach a sermon and 3,000 come to Jesus, I'm Jeff's out. It doesn't get any better than that right there. So, and I actually had a knucklehead after the first service. We got a lot of knuckleheads, and I'm the number one knucklehead. He came and said, I'm going to invite 3,000 of my friends to, anyway. Acts chapter 2, we're going to pick it up in verse 41. Peter has just preached his sermon, and it says, those who accepted Peter's message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. And here suddenly things begin to happen. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We know you're here. We trust that you're here. We've invited you. You're good for your promises. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, would you speak? Would you speak? May we hear from you. May you speak with power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message is look up, look around, and look out. We're going to tie that in. You'll understand a little bit more about that in just a moment. I was reminded back in my younger day, I played a little bit of basketball, and it was back when they were still using peach baskets as the goal. No, that's not true. Yeah, it was just right after that. Thank you. It was right after that. See, I told you there's a bunch of knuckleheads in this church. So, no, I played this particular game, and I remember it vividly, even though it was years ago, and we lost the game by just a couple of points, a couple of baskets, and the next day for practice, the coach pulled us together, and before we started practice, he said, "You know why you lost yesterday?" "Yeah, they scored more points than we did." "No, you took 20 free throw shots, and you missed 17 of those three free throw shots." And there's a reason they call it free throw. I mean, there's no one guarding you. Had we made three of those 17 free throws that we missed, we would have won the game. And so he said, today's practice, we're just going to shoot free throws. We're going to go back to the basics. We're not going to get into plays and all these intricacies of the game. We're going to shoot free throws. And I remember that very vividly, back to the basics. Sometimes as Christians, sometimes in church even, we can get so tied up in the details of, quote, ministry, that we forget the basics of the gospel. And so if I were to say to you, why does Wiley Methodist exist? It would be love God, love people, offer Christ. I think there was four people that knew that. No, I'm just kidding. Several of you knew that. So love God, love people, offer Christ. So we're gonna kind of go at that in a little bit different direction today. But first of all, Wiley Methodist exists to look up. A healthy church loves God. To look up. The Holy Spirit, so that Pentecost day, the Holy Spirit came, Peter preached a sermon, and suddenly the church was launched. Things began to happen. And the habits and the behavior of the people changed. It said in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. We church, if we want to be a healthy church, by the way, did you know that the church is not a building? Did you know that? Everybody, let me see your index finger. Now point right here. That's the church. So a healthy church is we are created to look up. Our community group this past Wednesday, I made the statement that we're going through Romans, and we were in chapter 10, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But one of the things that came to my heart as we were talking, as we were going through that chapter, was that not only are we to love God, but we first must realize how much He loves us. How He loves us. And that one thing right there fuels everything we do. If we don't get that, we don't get anything. If we don't understand how much God loves us, we can't love God. In fact, all the stuff, I've said it before, but the things that we do to try to serve the Lord, we're just doing it out of obligation or habit or whatever. But if we're doing it in response to the fact that God loves us, He's demonstrated that through Jesus, that fuels everything we do. A healthy church loves God. We must understand who God is and how much He loves us. A healthy church has a passion for God and is in pursuit of God. We all of us probably have one of these things. And sometimes I'm, you know, pray that the Lord would take these away. But anyway, that we have them. It's part of our world and our life. These have a function. They were designed to do certain things. And what do we do generally? Not everybody at night, but I know what I do. The last thing I do before I go to bed is what with this? I plug it in, charge it for another day. Now, if I did not recharge this, it would be worthless. The purpose that it was designed for would be worthless. It would have no purpose. It's the same with God. One encounter with the Lord doesn't, as the great theologian Larry the Cable Guy says, doesn't get her done. Who'd you quote the great theologian? Oh, Billy quotes from Mr. T. I quote from Larry the Cable Guy. Y'all can debate who's better, but anyway. One encounter with the Lord is not enough. We must recharge. We must press into Him and let Him recharge us constantly. A healthy church has a passion for God and is in pursuit of growth. We're rooted in worship and grounded in the Word. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest command? And they were actually, I think, trying to trip Jesus up. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It begins there. But I would say the precursor to loving the Lord your God is understanding that the Lord your God loves you. A healthy church loves God. A healthy church looks up, and it fuels everything else. Secondly, Wiley Methodists exist to look around. A healthy church loves one another. Billy spoke of one another, all the one another's in God's Word. But in verse 44 and 45 today, all the believers were together. They gave to anyone as he had need. And I was telling early church that I sometimes, if we had a choir, I'd feel like I'd be preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to the praise team, I guess. I don't know. But this church, you guys, you're givers. You're givers. And I don't mean just financially. You just give. You just love. And that is I'm honored to be a part of such an awesome group of people. But I think we can do better. We can do more. The closer we come to Christ, the better we represent Him. We're meant to represent Christ to one another. We're meant to serve in practical ways. Love, and I love the phrase, love is a verb. Love is action. It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love is a verb. Love is action. It's visible. It's tangible. It's things that we do that people can look at and they can see. Cheryl and I will go to a restaurant or a store or whatever, and generally people we encounter, and a lot of times the person waiting on us or checking us out or whatever, we can leave and go, that person was a Christian. They don't have a sign that says Christian on their shirt. You can just tell the way they behave, the way they treat people, the way they love. So I was, a few years ago, several of us in the church, we got to go to Israel, which now is kind of a little bit of a hazardous place these days. But we got to go and we got to see the Dead Sea. Go ahead and throw that up there, Lee. That's a shot of the Dead Sea. A few facts about the Dead Sea. I looked some of this up, and you can Google it and see for yourself. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth. I didn't know that. It's the lowest point on earth, 1,443 feet below sea level. It's the lowest point on earth. It has all sorts of rivers and mostly the Jordan, but other places that feed into the Dead Sea, but there is no exit. There is no exit. It receives but never gives. It's a salty body of water. You can see there the salt deposits in that picture. I didn't know this. It's 9.6 times saltier than the ocean. That's pretty salty. Anybody ever swim in the ocean and you go under and you kind of, oh man, that's nasty. It's salty. 9.6 times saltier than the ocean. And here's the deal. It receives but never gives. Nothing can live there. So a question, can the church be like that? Can the church, the global church, can we be like that? Where we take in, we receive, but there's no giving? I think it's possible. I think it's probably happening all around the world. I'll just say it this way. These words came to me a few years ago that as Christians, we're not called to be consumers, to consume God's goodness and just cling to it. We're called to be servants. I've asked the staff, we try to do this. I sometimes make the mistake, like when we're doing things like Vacation Bible School, I don't like saying we'd like volunteers for Vacation Bible School. I don't like that word in the church, volunteers. Because look, when you signed up, when you said, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're no longer a volunteer, you're a servant. So, we can't love God and ignore people. It goes together. Once we realize who God is, how He loves us, and how we love Him back, it's just instinctive we should be all about loving people on His behalf, being Christ's ambassadors, as 2 Corinthians 5 says, His Christ's ambassadors. So Jesus finishing out the great commandment, what we know as the great commandment, He says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then He says the second is like this, to love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than these. So Jesus is telling us they fit together. Loving God and loving people, they fit together. If you love God, you can't ignore people. And then finally, the Wiley Methodist exists to look out. A healthy church loves the lost. The Lord added to their number daily. A healthy church, and again, we're the church. When we're healthy and we come together as a body of Christ, that's attractive. A healthy church is attractive. As they're giving this brand new church in Acts, these people they're meeting together, they're worshiping, they're fellowshipping together, they're giving to those in need. Those who have plenty are giving to those in need, and guess what? The Lord's adding to their number daily. People see that kind of stuff and they go, I think I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of what's going on there. A healthy church is attractive. Growth is a natural result of health. I was telling the early service that my beautiful wife, I told her she didn't know she was in the sermon today, but it just came to me. But I have to be guarded when we drive by the garden area at Lowe's. I wish I kind of like they have these for kids in vans where you can pull down a little shade or whatever. I need one of those on Cheryl's window. But we go to, and Cheryl said, I'm needing a screwdriver or something, you know. And she said, I'm just going to go look down here in this. So I end up, we're taking a couple of plants home, okay? But Cheryl, and at the house, if I can't find Cheryl, she's out plucking dead leaves off of things outside. Now, she's caring for and nurturing those plants, and they do well. If I was in charge of the plants, we'd just have dead stems. That's all we'd have. Growth is a natural result of health. Healthy things grow. A healthy church has a heart for the hurting and the lost. And as I said, when we, I feel like I'm preaching the choir because so many of you love so well on behalf of Christ. But we've had so many things I could point to where because we're just loving, we're not trying to promote the church or doing that, we're just loving on behalf of Christ. And it's amazing what the Lord does with that. Besides just meeting that physical need in that moment, people are drawn to that. Unfortunately, it's probably fairly rare in our world, to be honest with you. Most of you know Lee Strobel. He's a Christian author now, but he started out, he was an atheist. His wife became a Christian, and he was actually upset about that. He was a investigative reporter, I believe, for a newspaper, and his wife became a Christian. He didn't like that she was cramping his style. He didn't like that. So he set out on a 2-year journey to prove this Christianity thing was a farce. And guess what happened to Lee Strobel? He came to Jesus. And he says, the evidence was so overwhelming, I couldn't deny it anymore. And he came to Christ. And he says at his heart, he's an author and he does all those things, but he said, in my heart, I'm an evangelist. And here's a quote from him. He says, he wants to bring as many people as possible to heaven with him. That should be, for a healthy church, that should be our heart. William Temple, which was an Anglican priest, I read a little bit about him. He said, the church is the only society on earth that exists for the benefit of non-members. We don't exist for our own benefit. We exist to share the good news of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. That's it. And to invite people into that relationship. If you were here for Easter, you heard my message. After Jesus was resurrected, the women first got the message from the angel and said, hey, go and tell the disciples what you've seen. In other words, something's happened here worthy of sharing. I need you to go and tell. And then they encountered Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Go and tell them. Tell him what you've seen. Tell him I'm alive. Go and tell. Well, and Jesus gave us what we know as the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. Go. It's not, the commission to us is not receive, receive, receive. Be consumers. No, it's go. I've got good news to share with the world, and you're my ambassador. You're the one I'm putting you in charge to do that. And it's not just, we don't have to walk up and down the street knocking on doors and sharing Jesus with people. Just incorporate it into your life. When people see you, they don't see, and this is my term, they don't see a freeze-dried Christian. Freeze-dried Christian, we're just frowning and we're moping and we're no joy whatsoever. That's not attractive. What was attracting these people in Acts was they were seeing these people coming to Jesus, worshiping him. They were seeing them caring for one another, and that was attractive. And the Lord added to their number daily. When we are walking with the Lord, that's attractive. I love this as we think about this go and tell and about looking out to the lost. Our community group is, as I said, going through Romans 10. And this past week, we looked at verses 13 through 15 in Romans 10. And I call this the four hows, H-O-W. And I want you to just listen to this. This is the task before us. This is our assignment. everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And my summary of that is people cannot be saved unless they call on Jesus. They can't call on Jesus unless they believe in Him. They can't believe in Him unless they have heard. They can't hear unless someone shares it with them. And they can't share unless they're sent. Man, that's powerful. That is the assignment for us. And I love the Gideon's ministry. They're an arm of what we do in Wiley Methodist. They're an extension, taking the gospel all over the world. But that's one arm. We need to all be a part. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words." Just our lives should just, we should ooze Jesus. We should just ooze Jesus. And even, and sometimes in those valleys, in those trying times, that's when we can ooze the best. It doesn't mean that we're, hoorah, I'm going through this awful time here, but the way we face those awful times, the way we face those trials should ooze Jesus. It should be different. Invite the praise team to come on back up if you'll pray with me. Jesus, we are humbled that you are even mindful of us, that you have given us not only the assignment but the privilege of being ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we're in professional ministry, but as believers in Christ, we are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a message to share, to go and tell. We have hope for a hurting world. Help us, oh God, to look up and to look around and to look out. You didn't come to save us at our best. You came to serve and to save us at our worst. While we were yet sinners, Christ, you died for us. That should humble us. That should inspire us. We love you for who you are and what you've done, what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close, if you'll rise, if you're able, the altar is always open. Please don't leave this place if you don't know that Jesus I'm talking about, because He knows you and He loves you. nothing will, right there. Church, we have the good news of Jesus Christ. Look up, look around, and look out. Go and tell someone that is good news. God bless you.
So I say, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Oh, I say, go, Jesus Christ is born.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.